ACM. This is Radio Ghana.
Live from our national studios here in Accra, and also networking with all our regional FM stations and on the World Wide Web at gbcghana.com, we say welcome once again to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program examining issues from the perspectives of newsmakers and experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. In this edition, Black Stars fail to end trophy droughts. What went amiss this time? Is it a foreign coach or attitude? Is Ghana's radio industry going astray? How is it catering for marginalized communities? Boku in the news again. Is the reintroduction of the curfew a solution to the problems that it faces? Well, we'll be going into these issues. It's Behind the News. You are live on Ura Radio, Boga, and also Radio Upper West. Where, as usual, you can also reach us with your text on 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. And we want to move on to our first story. It is said that victory has many fathers, but without doubt, failure is an orphan. It is not just an orphan, but a battered one. As Ghana's hope of annexing the African Cup of Nations ended on the rocks, the post-tournament blame game began in earnest. For many, the discussions and accusations were so familiar. A foreign coach, dedication, motivation, and what have you were all mentioned. However, critical analysts believe that there should be a deeper soul search instead of the regular emotional treatment of the factors accounting for the inability of Ghana to end a 30-year trophy drought. What are some of these factors? Behind the News is seeking answers to these questions and is probing further. And joining us on the line to do this first is Ibrahim Sani Dara, the Director of Communication, Ghana Football Association. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Kingsley.
What is your general assessment about the tournament?
Well, generally, I would say the standard of the tournament was very good. The pomp and pageantry associated with the closing ceremony was there for all to see after yesterday's game. The standard of play was good despite the absence of Nigeria, Cameroon, South Africa, and the previous holders, Egypt. I'd say the standard was good. As far as the Black Stars are concerned, it didn't match the expectation of the people of Ghana. The people of Ghana expected the Black Stars to win the trophy, and it was the promise we made to them. And for that, we, the Ghana Football Association, sincerely apologize for finishing fourth at the tournament. It was our sincere hope that we would bring the trophy to the country. We're confident of doing so, but, you know, things didn't go as we planned in the game against Zambia. A game we by far dominated and showed the prowess of Ghana. Yet, like the gods of football do sometimes to favorites, they turned against us, and we lost. So for that, we sincerely apologize to the people of Ghana. At this moment, we are taking stock of, you know, what went wrong, what can be corrected, and how we can move forward by straightening the mistakes, if there are any we spot, in future to be able to win the tournament.
Good. You started that level of assessment very early. We'll be going deeper into it. But if you can please go down a little on the radio that is close by you so that we get a better reception here. We are talking to Ibrahim Sani Dara, the Director of Communication, Ghana Football Association. Yes, can you say that the power base of African soccer is gradually shifting or equaling?
I think that the shift has, we've seen the shift already. The fact that countries like Cameroon, Egypt, who were the previous holders, Cameroon, South Africa, and Nigeria could not qualify must tell you one thing, that football in every part of Africa is developing, and it's developing very, very fast. Look at the performance, for instance, Zambia put up to win the trophy. They were not given a dog's chance. A country filled with stars, like Senegal, Dembaba, Papiss Demba Cisse, all the big names you can call in world football today were in the Senegalese national team, yet they crashed out at the first stage of the competition. It must tell you one thing, there are no minnows in African football. Wherever football is played today in Africa, the people take the game very, very seriously. And it is a lesson we must all take, as the big football nations in this world must take, that, you know, there are no minnows in the game today. Today, it's Zambia taking the trophy. You might not know. At the next stage, it could be Sudan. The growth of television in the world and the achievements of other African countries have spurred other countries on to go and want to believe that they can do something, they can win laurels and all. It's basically what is, you know, prompting other countries to step up to the plate and achieve.
Certainly, the determination is there for many people. Do you think perhaps this country lacked that edge in terms of determination?
I think that even from the public, the way we spoke before the tournament, the public was saying that we will win the tournament at all costs, not realizing that there were immense threats and present threats to our title ambition. There must be the understanding, not only amongst the Ghana Football Association, which we do, but the general public seems don't have that much of the understanding that other countries have caught up, for a better use of the word, have caught up with all the big nations. So today, countries like Niger can go to Nigeria and spring a surprise. Countries like Sudan can go elsewhere and spring a surprise. So when you least expect a country to spring a surprise, they do spring a surprise. And I think that is the realization that, you know, the general masses have not come to appreciate and would be appreciating by this result that has been achieved by Zambia and many other results related across the continent.
Yeah, you've given profuse apologies earlier, and some will say that's good. The apologies have been there, but this is a tournament that will be followed immediately by another tournament. Do you think you are quickly getting into the mood to start reorganizing quickly?
I think so. The fact that we've realized that, you know, things did not go as we expected shows that we've realized that maybe there was something that went wrong. And it is the reason why by next week we are demanding a report from the technical committee and the management of the Black Stars team, so we can put both together and see where we can, you know, if there was anything wrong to improve it, and if there was anything we did right, we can even do it much better by the next tournament. It's the realization that we realize we must hit the ground running in this minute, because the next tournament is only next year. And if you waste time in doing anything, also crucially, taking rush decisions might get it wrong. But yes, we want to do it with alacrity, but also the awareness that we have to do it with good conscience. We have to do it in the right frame of mind, so that the best decisions can be taken in favor of Ghana football.
It means before you even say anything, you wait for the report so that you can say something substantial. Is that what you are telling us?
Yes. I mean, it will be too long for us to start saying things, for us to start, you know, pointing blames here when we've not had the full picture of the on the ground. But if we have a full picture and are able to say that, look, this is where we went wrong, or this is what must be done, then we'll be taking a decision from an informed position rather than taking decisions from anger or motivated by emotions.
Yes.
So we want to delink emotions from this and take the right decisions to favor Ghana football.
But Ibrahim, you've heard a myriad of comments, and some might just be those that will regularly come because of emotions and pain, and some might also be very valuable. What have you heard so far that you think this is something we can take on board even before we get the report?
I think that the most valuable comments we've heard so far from the public, we are not only taking comments from management and technical committee, we are also taking comments from the fans. It is the people that we serve. We are not lords over the people. So if the people are talking, we must listen to them. We are listening to the radio stations. We are, you know, reading the comments on the internet and stuff like that. And the people, the ordinary people we meet on the street, the feedback they give us is what we are taking. crucially is, you know, some people say, you know, we must look at the way we prepare for the tournament, how long we spend in camp and all of those things. It's one. Others say we must, you know, rethink the way we call players into the Black Stars and the rest. It's something we would look at. Others also say we must review the coach's contract. Some even go as far as saying that fire the coach. We are listening to all of these things. And when the report comes, we'll look at the recommendations from the report and all. And the executive committee of the Ghana Football Association will now look at these reports and decide whether we should take these decisions or, you know, or do otherwise.
Yeah, so Ibrahim, I'll please ask you to hold on the line as we go to Coach Fred Osamdodu. He's been with the Black Stars for some time and is also credited with winning a Nations Cup. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Just before the tournament, you were here with us in the studio and you were so hopeful, like many Ghanaians, that really this is the time of this country. Yet it wasn't so. How did you see it all?
Well, when you go into a tournament like this, everybody, every country has an aim. Before you get there, for instance, in 2002, when they gave the team to me, I had to qualify the team first, and because I didn't have enough players. In fact, I told everybody, for the cup, no, but you're going to make some impression. And that will be the route training for the people who qualify for 2006, and it happened.
Yeah.
So, in fact...
Mr. Samdodu, if you can please go down on the volume of your set, and we are getting a little feedback here.
Hold the line.
Okay. You are still on Behind the News live on Radio Ghana, networking with all our regional FM stations and on the World Wide Web at www.gbcghana.com. Yes, Mr. Fred Osamdodu.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, you are still online. If you can please go ahead.
Before you go into tournament, me as a coach and as a technical director for the JFC, all that you have to do is you have to monitor your players. And I think the coach did the same thing, and he selected his team. Then you have to go in for training, preparation, training, trial matches, and matches, so that the boys will know each other. And I think they did it. On paper, everybody was saying, in fact, Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ghana, one of these countries, might come out carry the trophy. And we in Ghana, we are very sure, because I know this '82 is hanging in my neck. I was the man in charge, the head coach. So I thought this time the thing will go to somebody else. And so I was praying that it will happen. It didn't. The best thing the FA should do now, in fact, during the time I was with the Black Stars, all the times I was with the national team, after every tournament, I put down my report, technical, the preparation, the result, and this, and what is expected of the FA to do. So I hope this time, the GFA will ask the man to give out his report, because if you look at the technical body, in fact this man brought in Rogic, who was the video analyst, and then Marina Kavasivic, who was a placenta healer. And then he himself as the head coach, and then Govovic Milan as the physical trainer. So, in fact, there wasn't anything to say. I don't know what part Kusiapia even played. So he had owned all his people. He understood them and everything. So I don't know. But for me, we don't have to worry too much, but you have to prepare for the future. The future is very close, 13th and then 14th, 2013-14. You see, so we must, he should be forced to bring out his report, technical report, and then the FA will study it. I hope they will get some technical heads also to study the thing so that they will also give their input. We are all around because we are Ghanaians. We can help to give him the input, which you should do. Now, on paper, before you started, the first and guy and the rest, it didn't happen. But what went wrong? Even when you were playing in the third position in finals, in fact, my analysis some time ago was this, even when you were playing Mali had scored 9 goals, they had 9 goals against them, we had scored 6 goals and we had 3 against us. So on paper, you could see that we had something above them. Unfortunately, something happened. Now, one other aspect too I noticed was, if you go into competition like this, tournament, you must make sure all your players are fit. And I remember Scolari, Brazilian coach, in 2002. In fact, he came out to tell everybody how he won the cup. And he said, because tournament, you have to play so many matches. He made sure that all those you are sending were physically fit. So even FIFA came out to tell everybody when they won the cup that, in fact, Brazil was the fittest distance. And you could even see from the Zambians, the way their movement and everything, they were really fit. So I don't know what happened that some people were giving green light to play when they were half fit. See, I don't know. But sometimes, too, it's because of the medical department. For instance, Mensah. You see, I'm a Ghanaian, and John Mensah, is in fact a big player, and he had to play one of the matches, quarterfinals or so, and he played for some few minutes, and he was out. And I thought the last match, the group match, I thought you would rather rest before then others will. Then you play in the last match. Because we discovered that any time he played, they will change him. So we didn't gain much from him, his experience and his everything. And then there are other things. Now the coach was on the ground and he knew better than anybody, even though we are all technical men. But my idea is, in the near future, when you are going to such competitions, you should make sure that all the boys are cleared and they are fit. If you get injured during the course of this thing, that is quite different.
Yeah.
But when you enter into the tournament with sickness and the rest, it doesn't even go well for us.
Coach Osandoli, you believe that it would be better to take a strong player than a player that is seen as so good?
Pardon me?
I'm saying that you believe that you need to send a strong player than somebody who is thought to be so good but cannot play the match to its end.
Yeah. When you go to tournament, you don't send half-fit players because they are going to play a lot of matches. And unless you have people who can take over from them, you know you are very, very sure that they will do better than them.
So do you believe we have all these people and yet they were not chosen, or perhaps we went with our best?
Well, in fact, the coach, that's why I said, in fact, he should present his report and then he will be able to point out where things went wrong. You have some luck inside this thing. When people were blaming this Samuel Jain for, losing that thing, I was particularly with them because it happened 1994. You saw what happened to Brazil 82 Spain. You saw what happened to Zico and all the best. This thing sometimes it happens. But in fact, if I were to be around, I would have advised the coach to maintain Samuel Jain because. You saw when this man, the Ivorian captain.
Yes.
Drogba.
When he lost that thing, he wanted to prove to his people that he could do something better. So if he had stayed, he could have even scored. Because he was not injured.
Okay.
And he wanted, he should have proved to these people this and that. So if I were to be around, the only thing is I have to probably advise him, you keep him for at least when it's 10 minutes or 18 minutes to the full time, then you can, when he had scored a goal.
Okay.
So in fact, to be frank with you, if I have to give you the analysis of the whole thing, then we have to talk about the general organization, technique and tactical analysis, the championship, this and the comparison of the semifinals, the refereeing, the venue, stadium, and then the capacities and the rest. You have to talk about all these things because you could see that, in fact, the semifinals were played in Equatorial Guinea, where the capacity of this thing was 37,500 spectators.
Mm-hmm.
Then the finals in Gabon, Libreville, where the capacity was 40,000. But how many people even were there?
So all this will add up to a tournament, not just the players on the field.
If we have to sit down and then analyze everything, then all these things will come.
Okay.
But with all these things too, the coach has his position there when he writes his this thing. And then the management too.
Yeah, okay.
For motivation and psychology, I think motivation, in fact, the players were motivated. They were even going to be paid a big bonus. I was telling some people that if those days were today, by this time, I'll be a billionaire.
Certainly. Perhaps it's not over yet because your expertise can be tapped.
Two caps and then on the 20 and the rest. But I'll be a billionaire. So for motivation, it was there. And then there is another aspect. In fact, when I was on Radio Gold, we had some information that there was some problem in camp. That one, I don't know.
Mr. Samdodu, as you've mentioned, there are a few things that we expect the coach to come out with in the report. So when that report is out, we'll find some time to delve deeper into these issues. But for now, I want to thank you so much for your time on Behind the News.
Thank you.
And coming back to you, Ibrahim, you've heard Sosamdodu touch on the issues. Not all, though. But for you, what about refereeing?
I think that there was some dodgy refereeing, especially in our game against Guinea, in our game against Botswana, where most of our opponents against Guinea, Botswana, when most of our opponents just came to kick our players. And you realize that after the first game against Botswana, we had about 4 or 5 players on knocks. I think that the referee did not do justice to the game itself. But there were some heartwarming matches we saw in the game against Zambia, for instance. The referee allowed the game to flow, and when the key players in the team attempts were made to put them down or to injure them, he protected the key players. I think that there are positive things we can take from the refereeing in this tournament. It's always the case that in every tournament we'll have controversies.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, I'll probably rate the refereeing at the tournament on a scale of 1 to 100, maybe 75%.
Yeah. So, personally, if you have to mention one thing that made it difficult for Ghana or ruled out Ghana, talking about the trophy, what do you think you will put your hands on?
I think it's luck. Because if you look at the game against Zambia, we totally dominated. Totally dominated. Leave out the penalty we lost against Asamoah, could not convert. Leave out that and tell me, look at the number of opportunities we created.
Does that not talk so much about our ability in front of the post that we need players who can convert?
This could be one important point you've raised. But if we still had Asamoah, who is, in my opinion, a world-class player and is able to play at the highest level and score goals. Why can't we convert the chances we had? I think that it's a problem we must look at.
Hello.
It's a problem. It's a problem we must look at. And probably, I think, you know, it's a problem. Maybe the coach will point out in his report.
Okay. So when are we expecting the report?
I think the report must be out by the 20th of February. It will be presented to the Black Stars Management Committee. They will look at it first before the Executive Committee gets the report on the 22nd. And then on the 22nd in the afternoon, the report will be made. The, you know, outcome of the report and the decisions to be taken thereof will be made public thereafter.
So there is nothing on the coach for now?
There's absolutely nothing on the coach now. There's a statement on our website that states that the coach stays in his post because he has a contract with us until 2013, and there's nothing from that. Until we have the report and the executive committee takes a decision on it, there's absolutely nothing on the coach.
Good. I don't know how you respond to this before we let you go. Baba Musa from UDS sent in this one and saying, Ghana Blaster squad as well as the technical bench need a serious overhaul. The GFA is also part of the poor performance of the Stars and they should sit up.
Well, if there are places the GFA went on, I'll be the first person to put my hands up and say yes. But can you point to one thing that the GFA did not do to ensure that the boys won the trophy? Government provided all the money. The GFA provided all the guidance needed to be able to win the thing. You can hardly put your finger on one thing that you would probably say the GFA did wrong for the Black Stars not to win the trophy. The bonuses were made available there and then when they won the matches. We provided the needed guidance. We provided every facility, training opportunities. All of these things were done to ensure that we could win the trophy. So I would disagree with our texter from it where you blame maybe the GFA being responsible for it. If there's any responsibility we'll take, let's wait for the coach to come out with his report.
Okay.
Maybe the coach says, for instance, the GFA did something wrong. We'll be the first to lift our hands up and admit that we did something wrong.
Okay. Ibrahim, let me quickly ask this one. Do you think the tag of perennial favorite sometimes work against the Blasters, putting enormous pressure on them to perform?
I think so. In my own personal opinion, I think that the pressure of, you know, people saying we are going to win the title, we must win the title, it's been 30 years since. It puts pressure, you know, when you expect the players to deliver, sometimes because of some of these pressures, it rather backfires against us.
Okay.
I think that maybe in future, we should be measured in the way we put our expectations. Maybe lower our expectations, and when we beat...
Manage the expectations, perhaps, we can see.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that, you know, even if we fail, people will be able to appreciate the fact that we did well. But if you just consider it, you go into an exam of 16 countries, you end up fourth. It's... For many, many countries across the continent, they wouldn't find that as bad at all.
Okay.
But yes, I admit that.
This is Ghana.
This standard is not enough.
This is Ghana. Ibrahim Sanidara, we'll certainly talk again when the report is released. But for now, I want to thank you so much for your time this evening on Behind the News.
Thank you very much. I'm always available.
Thank you. Ibrahim Sanidara is with the Black Stars and with the Ghana Football Association, I should say. But Mohamed Polo has also seen it before. He's been in a tournament where they were expected to perform so well and yet came back with nothing. But he's been in winning squads too. He's joined us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening.
It's all ended. Generally, did you think... Just before we started, we really had that capacity to annex the trophy.
I think that is what it looks like. The expectation was so high that you know there is nothing you know left unturned to make sure that they go to Gabon and Equatorial to ensure they bring the victory that all Ghanaians are looking for. Unfortunately, it backfired. Whatever happens, I think we all saw it, and we have some sort of critical look at what went wrong and try to put certain things right, because we have to look to the way forward.
So you were observing, assuming you have to make some suggestions, key ones. 2013 is around the corner. What will you be saying?
Yeah, I think you don't have to because of the time factor. In fact, we have to look at the team, critically, and see, the weakness of the team, and try to put certain things together and ensure that we have a formidable side that can win the Lawrence for us.
So you believe that the players should not be blamed? Are you saying that?
I think they are part of the situation that happened. They are the main actors. And if the main actors fail, it means there is something very wrong. Because I think a lot of things have to go. It's not only the actors that are there. You have the management, you have the technical side, and then the actors. The actors and the technical men plays a very, very important role. Likewise, the management. And it looks as if, if all of us, heads of what, what the even the government did through the effort of the management. And if everything is provided, and the actors and the technical men could not deliver, I think we have to, re-look at that area and find out what really went wrong.
Mohamed Polo, we want to thank you very much for your time too.
It's a pleasure.
Willie Alassani was also observing proceedings and keenly looking at what was happening during the tournament. He's also on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, my brother.
Certainly, Ghana has had a lot of very fine tournaments. Would you consider this as one?
It's very difficult to say because at the end of the day, we didn't come home with the trophy because that's the ultimate. But Ghanaians didn't get the trophy. So I wouldn't say it's one of the finest. But having said that, I don't think we need to press the panic button. For me, where we have gotten to a stage where the team is going through a transition. And what we have to do now is manage the transition very, very well. Yes, we didn't bring the trophy, but life must go on. And if we don't handle this transition very well, that will rather make or make the team. So for me, it's not about this tournament. This tournament has told us that, yes, we are going through a transition, and we need to manage it very, very well.
Some were comparing situations 2 years ago when nobody expected them to get that far. They went to the finals. Do you think it was lack of pressure on them at that time?
Your question again?
I was asking, 2 years ago, nobody expected them to get to the finals, yet they did. For this year, people were expecting a trophy. Do you think it was due to the pressure?
I don't think it's the question of pressure. You see, as I said, 2 years ago, somebody like Asamoah was really on fire. There was no doubt about that. And one of the problems of the Black Stars is goal scoring. But 2 years ago, Asamoah was on song. He was finding the net left and right, so we didn't really have a problem.
Yet it was the one goal project.
Say again?
It was still the one goal project.
One goal project?
Yes, where score one and end it.
Whether one or not, it took us to the finals of the tournament, isn't it? That is the ultimate. But this time, we've beaten Mali 2-0. We've beaten Tunisia in a hard game, but we couldn't even get to the finals. So I'm saying that presently the team is going through a transition, whether we like it or not. So this is the time that we need to sit down and analyze where we need to block loopholes who to bring into the team, and obviously who to get out of the team for others to take to come in. But 2010 was a very special occasion, as I said, because we had a striker who was scoring. But unfortunately, this season, this particular tournament, as someone we all know, I don't need to repeat what happened. His injury before the tournament, he's been taken into the tournament as a half-fit player. So obviously, that also affected his performance. Having said that, I also think that the number one problem of the Black Stars has been, even from the days of Steven Appiah, has been the striking role. But we always made up for our midfielders scoring. Sule Muntari will be scoring, Michael Essien will be scoring, Lion James will be scoring, Steven Appiah will be scoring. So we did not really feel the absence of strikers. It is now that those boys are virtually going out of the team, we are beginning to feel the absence, the real absence of strikers. But then we have the Ajimambidus, the Ayu brothers also coming in. So this is that time for us to really prepare them for the task ahead instead of pressing the panic button and creating problems for ourselves.
How should people's expectations be managed? You listen to some of the discussions and you start asking a lot of questions about even the way people are speaking about the issues.
Say again?
How should people's expectations be managed?
Well, I think the line is very, very good for me.
Oh, I guess we'll leave you for now, but certainly we'll get back to the discussions after the report has been released. And want to thank you very much for your time, Willie Alassani.
You're welcome.
That's a sports analyst, also touching on the issues in relation to the Black Stars. Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana and also live on Radio Central and all our other regional FM stations. Some of your tests. I'll plead to remind the good people of Boku that there is no individual or group of people or at any place that can aid them to bring peace to Boku. They need to bury their differences and unite. Nalibe Nelson at Kwame Dan, so touching on an issue that we'll be getting to later on. And AU Farouk Tamale, disappointed, I can see. Kingsley, the better we stop discussing Black Stars, the better we have our peace of mind. AU, we've heard. From SSNY, in every competition, there will always be only one winner. Go, go, Black Stars, to bring the Gargantuan Trophy next time. And Josephine from Cape Coast, perhaps not the ideal, not what we all hoped for, but Ghana is fourth in a continent of over 50 countries. We may hope for better, but we should do our best not to discourage the players, for they also desired the trophy. Thank you for that one. And Alassan from Wabusa, the Black Stars coach should go away, and this Ghana should use. And then Ghana should use the local coaches. That is your suggestion. And Raymond Akati from Kwetwai says, Ghanaians are simply relying on past glories. It is time we put that aside and be focused. As this is Don Lawa, it is high time Ghanaians change their attitude. The coach has no problem. Rather, it is the so-called big men in the country. The coach should be allowed to work independently. It's Behind the News, and you are live on Twin City Radio and also on Radio Central together with Garden City Radio. Radio is considered to be probably the mother of all the information and communication technological advancements that the world is now enjoying. Since its introduction in the country in 1935, radio has succeeded in helping to educate, inform, and entertain the populace. During difficult times, it serves as a mobilization tool and a way of motivating people to action. In recent times, however, questions have been asked as to how radio is connecting people without bringing a wedge between them. As media pluralism changed the role of radio and made it a conflict-creating medium, as the world celebrated the first Radio Day, UNESCO Director General Irina Bokova is of the opinion that it is not just enough to send out information, but people and societies must be connected more deeply. How can this be done effectively for this country? Suleimana Brahma is the Deputy Executive Director of the Media Foundation for West Africa. We'll be taking his mind on it very soon. But for now, we have Kofi Lawe, who is with Radio Ada and also a founding member of the Ghana Community Radio Network. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, my brother, and good evening to dear listeners of Radio Ghana.
Yes.
Congratulations for the first Radio Day celebration.
Thank you, and I know you also share the congratulations because you've been talking about radio and development over the period. What is your general assessment about how it's working, radio generally, and our development issues?
Well, fortunately for us, we in Ghana have the privilege to be using radio to support our development efforts. But you see, people say development is like a wallet. Everybody carries his or her own. Depending on where you are, let us just say that our laws have made it possible for us to break away from the hold that leaders and politicians had on radio. Now it is available. But as to who and where we want it to go get to, who we really want to take charge of it, is another issue. But it is heartwarming to note that Ghana has something to offer in its varieties. We have the public radio, we have the commercial radio, we have the community radio. And we wish to even have more of what we have.
Yeah, you are talking about variety, and all of us will love variety, but some are saying that in the variety, we are beginning to get the undesirables. How do we let them work?
Yes. Into whose hands do we want to place this important tool? It came to Ghana through leaders who wanted to use it to give information. But you and I know that we have come to a stage where we cannot leave the development in the hands of leaders. The people, the communities, those who need it most are those who are marginalized, who need to mobilize and use their own efforts to correct what others have denied them. And so connecting people, look at the language barriers we have. You and I are now communicating in English. But can you imagine if we were doing it in any of the local languages and the number of people who will appreciate what we are trying to do for that matter? So for us, what we are saying is that if it is not promoting livelihoods, if it is not promoting sustainable environmental practices, if it is not promoting the positive culture or the time-tested formation processes that we are forgetting, if we are not bringing them back into the fold, then we are not using it for the right purposes, looking at our situation.
Good. You've mentioned the important things that should be promoted. If it is not being done well, then it means radio is not serving its purpose. I'll hold you quickly and go to the other line. Dr. Nia Labi is a communications specialist and has also been monitoring a lot of issues in radio for some time. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. Would you say radio is losing its value, at least some sections of radio, because of the multiplicity?
The question is not very clear. I think the sound level is low, if you could see.
Yeah, I'm asking that for some people, it appears radio seems to be losing its real value of performing the role expected of it. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, thank you very much, and good evening, listeners. I do share that view to a certain extent. But I think that we should also try to look at it within a context, or a geographical context, or a context of countries and cultures and so on. What am I saying by that? In Ghana, yes, it's been universally accepted that radio is being abused, not used. Its usefulness, which is all wrapped up in the concept of sharing information, enlightenment, you know, education. All these things seem to have been lost gradually in Ghana here, and it's been slaughtered on the altar of political expedience, what we call now propaganda. And that is a tragedy of a situation we live in. Not too long ago, you know, we could see that radio, there used to be what you call rediffusion boxes. In those days, we were young, if you had it in your house, every good information, every type of information you needed, whether it's about health, whether it is about development issues, and so on, and what was going on in society, you could capture it from that rediffusion box. But what do we see today? We have liberalization of the airwaves. And thank God that democracy has thought about that. What do we do with that liberalization? Political parties, political activists have hijacked these, especially the FM stations, that they are doing their own thing with it. But in other countries, more serious countries that want to develop, they're still making use of radio in the traditional way, getting information, disseminating information, and so on. And I don't think they are deviated in any large measure from the traditional service radio is supposed to play. That is why UNESCO is a little bit worried. And I must tell you that we've done a lot of research about the impact of radio, and I've been involved in some of these research in the past. The impact is waning. But in certain countries, you know, like in Mali, in Niger, and so in the rural areas in particular, I think it's still serving the purpose. I know, it's very cheap with one or two pieces of dry cells. You can get any transmitter radio carried under your armpit. You could see night watchmen, you know, making companions of their radio sets and so on and so forth. It is still playing this very important role. But
Dr. Alabi, yes, really, for what you mentioned, then it means that if it is serving the purpose in Mali, for instance, does that mean that they have a better regulatory environment or the managers are doing it more effectively than we are beginning to see in this country?
Better regulatory environment. I think the environment is no better than we have. I think it's a matter of realization of the fact that now, look, politics, yes, but before... You know, you give precedence to politics, you should also do consideration of other things. But by and large, I think those countries are trying to take over or take over regulatory issues. We have said that our liberalization is almost without limits, and it doesn't make sense. It is bordering on chaos and cacophony, if I may use the expression. And this is the reason why we need, yes, Mali, I used it. We have a better regulatory environment, which everybody tries to respect. And the excesses we have here, you cannot compare those excesses with what obtained in Mali and some of these countries. So maybe I should also add that what we need to do now is to get stronger and better regulatory, you know, sort of measures that would try to control the abuse that is going on. That abuse is irritating. I was a presenter for a number of years, and what I saw really frightened me, and it is so frightening me why everybody thought they could just call it and say what they thought was necessary without its consideration of its impact, dangerous, negative impact on society. So the regulatory issue you have raised is very, very crucial. We need to all address our issues to you. But somebody will say, hey, you are trying to curtail somebody's freedom. And this is where the whole problem actually boils down to.
Dr. Adeyalabi, you know, that opens another vista for discussion. Yes, regulatory exactly. environment and then people's freedoms. But we'll open yes. that one up at a later date. For now, we want to thank you very much.
That's my pleasure.
Yes. But coming back to you, Mr. Kofi Lawe, at least we've heard about this. Sometimes many people want to blame local language radio stations for some of the excesses. But community radios are using local languages most of the time. How do you manage it well?
Thank you very much. I think Doc has already hit the nail on the head about the issue of the role of regulatory body. Here we are in Ghana, there is no broadcast law. And we have leaders who are always paying lip service to what they should do to help our people. Even when it comes to the community radios that use the local language, there is no regulation, but we, on our own, the Ghana Community Radio Network, have developed its own codes, which have been endorsed by the regulatory authorities. And that is what has been guiding us. We believe that we are living with the people, they know us, we also know them, and so you cannot do anything. That is what you were taught to live and relate with people in a certain way. So technology cannot change that. It can only enhance it. That is what we do. In fact, Ghana should do better with the kind of regulatory regimes that need to be put in place. We have no broadcast law. Freedom of information has been mentioned. There have been agitations. People have promised on platforms they will do this and that. Nothing is forthcoming. So it is leaving the room for others to use it the way they think will bring them the kind of development they are thinking of. But you and I know that we have cultural values, we have national values to protect and project. And that is what we try to do.
Well, so we've celebrated World Radio Day. Many people may not be aware because this is the first celebration. How can people get to know that radio is for development and not just for people to air views that might destroy any development that we already have?
Well, it depends on where you look at it. Here, within the listenership of Radio Ada, the people have been prepared. They know this day is coming. And when the day came, we have been holding different discussions and presenting what the world is with radio. And they have been commenting on what radio has done for them. In fact, just 3 weeks back when Radio Adan was preparing to celebrate the 14th anniversary, a 57-year-old lady walked to the station to say, "Look, I have this radio. It is also 14 years old. I bought it when I heard Dangle on air for the first time." And you can imagine what rust and weather and handling has done to that radio, but it is still talking. The lady holds it like an egg and it follows her to the market everywhere she goes.
So it means she's been positively influenced.
A lot.
Okay. We'll end it here for now. Mr. Kofi Lawe will still be exploring other issues in terms of letting radio be a development tool. Thank you so much for your time. Mr. Kofi Lawe is with Radio Ada and also a founding member of the Ghana Community Radio Network. Behind the news, some of your tests. Congratulations to the Chipolopolo of Zambia from Atabochi, Hohoi. Kingsley Goramas Bisa Gilbert from Kintampo is saying so. And Alaji Keakwa, we must reorganize ourselves, otherwise we may miss the next World Cup. And Adams, while late campaign is one of the factors that contribute to the Stars' abysmal performance. And Slay, indeed, Black Stars team seriously need fast strikers and players who can take on the opponents. We need to learn a lot from the Zambians. The Black Stars should put their broken pieces together and try another time. Even Brazil at times lose matches. Andrew Manga from Boko says so. And from Chief Sam Cape Coast, let's note that in Africa, no one is a superpower in football again. And to our last story, tick-tick, the nation's clock is signaling the approach of the 2012 general elections. Ghanaians expect a peaceful poll. However, certain developments in some conflict-prone communities should be a source of concern. One municipality which is trying to give peace a chance and move away from a violent past is Boku in the Upper East region. But how do the people take the issue of sporadic gunfire and alleged politically motivated attacks and murders? The MPP is currently alleging that the death of one Fuseni, an assembly member, has something to do with politics. Is that really the case? We find out from the Boku Central Constituency Secretary of the MPP, Amadou Hamza. Good evening, Amadou.
Yeah, good evening.
Amadou, why are you saying that such a death is caused by a political opponent or there is a political smell in it?
Yes, we in the PP believe that the murder of one Francis Fuseni has a political undertone. In the sense that when you if you closely look at political events in the past few months, you will realize that issues unfolding are that there is either Ayaga is on the news saying that his supporters have been burned, his supporters' houses have been burned down, or the other way. Yes, that's why we are of the view, because when you look at the whole thing, we are of the view that it's not ethnic, it's not a Mampusi or a Kusasi case.
Yeah. Earlier, the police were saying that looking at initial findings, it doesn't look like a politically motivated thing. So are you quite sure? What do you have to say that really this is what is?
Yes, from my findings, I realized that it's politically motivated in the sense that he actually campaigned seriously and won election. It's true that district assembly election is non-partisan, but we have actually made it very clear now between the NDC and the NPP that it's like it's an open thing. So it's now a disregard to the very principles of the Constitution. That's why we think when you look at the district assembly election, the way and manner in which the campaign went through, he was elected based on the NPP ticket. And besides that, the other thing we have actually in political activities with Mr. Fuseni, and that's why we think it has taken a political dimension.
But yet you don't have a confirmation to say that really somebody did it belonging from the opposing camp.
We can't pinpoint exactly who did it.
Okay.
Some information gathering that we have gathered some information that some people in the NDC camp used a motorbike and went through that site, met him and shot him dead.
You have gathered, but you don't have any proof.
Yes, notwithstanding others like the security agencies, they are different opinions. For me, that's what I believe. I believe it's politically motivated. And I still stand by it.
You are saying so, but you don't have the evidence. Let's let that stand. Is that it?
Well, fine if you think so.
Not if I think so. At least you yourself have confirmed that that is what you think, but it is not the situation.
It may not be the situation. It's infancy or whatever. You cannot come out to approve to prove of it.
Yeah. So how are you working with the police to ensure that at least circumstances surrounding it is unraveled instead of just immediately saying that it is politically motivated?
We have had a very good relations with the police over the years. Yes, just some recent development indicates that sometimes you might have some problems with them with respect to certain arbitrary arrests by our supporters. By and large, you would see that they would come in the day when gunshots are somewhere, then they would come to our strongholds and arrest people for no reason given, for no objective reason given in this regard. And that's why we think sometimes that the police are biased.
You have a problem.
When we stand, but we don't doubt their competency and the capability of...
But Hamza, you are still prepared to work with them. Is that it?
We are still prepared to work with them.
It's good to hear that. In fact, we booked the MCE for Boku Musa Abdullahi. Unfortunately, the line is not going through. But we'll certainly try to get a response and see how best both parties can work to ensure the peace. For now, I want to thank you very much.
Yes. Can I make some, please?
If you can be snappy.
What we want to say is that, right, This is just the beginning of 2012. Well, West African Network for Peace has engaged all the four major political parties in Boko.
Yeah.
That is the NPP, the NDC, the PNC, and the CPP. The essence of such meeting is to ensure that the upcoming presidential and parliamentary election is conducted.
Do you know, we'll get a rep to talk about that one so that we get you in as we discuss that one. We want to thank
no
you.
Problem.
Very much
no problem.
Of the time.
Okay.
Thank
okay.
you so much. Amadou Hamza is Boko Central Constituency Secretary of the MPP, and that is where we wrap it all up for today. I want to thank all of you. God willing, tomorrow is another date. And on behalf of my production team of Christopher Siedu and Bright Agama, together with Jose Balobi, who also are the controls, and David Abura, our assistant, my name is Kingsley Ovintre.